All right, yes, world. What is going on? This is your man, Buddy Rami, and we are back at it with another episode of the Yeah Buddy podcast. And this episode is brought to you by the Comedy Cash Cow competition. So, if you are a comedian, you want a chance to win $1,000 and star in your own movie, go to www.comedycashcow.com. That is the Comedy Cash Cow competition at www.comedycashcow.com. And the competition will be taking place May 25th in Vacaville, California. All right, cool. So now let's get to this episode, y'all. This is the Yeah Buddy podcast. You know, like every episode, I always try to bring in some of my friends in the entertainment business just to chop it up, see what we got going on, what we got coming up and stuff like that, see what's going on in Hollywood. And this episode is like no other. Our special guest today, she is an award-winning actress, a model, a sketch comedian, just overall makeup artist and everything like that, making a big name for herself out here in Sacramento and Northern California in general. Hey, y'all, make it live and make it loud for Miss Bunny Stewart in the building. Woo! How you doing today, Bunny?
Oh, I'm doing awesome, buddy, especially since I'm here on your show now. Thank you so much for having me.
No, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you came through. We are here recorded live. So, yeah, this is good. So, Bunny, you are actress, model. Which came first?
The acting. I don't know if you ever did this. We put on little skits for our family at family reunions and made everybody watch them. In high school, got involved with theater. And I love theater. You know, there's just something about being live and with like a live audience, you know, because like you do stand up. So
it's
organic. It's alive. And then started to do films, but then went back to do makeup artistry. And that's how I got involved in the industry out here in Sacramento. It was actually on a movie called Predatory Lender for Jim Myers. Have you ever met Jim?
I think so. He works a lot with, was it Robert?
Robert. Oh, you should have him on your show too.
Yeah, I definitely will. Cool. I'll reach out to him. I'll definitely reach out to Robert. Yeah. Awesome. So you got started in acting and stuff like that. Start off doing plays. So what was that transition like going from plays to like on screen, like being in front, like on a camera?
Oh yeah. Well, actually I like film because I would do more theater, except it's so intensive for practice wise, you know what I mean? And it's like for film, you learn your lines, you show up. Maybe you've got a rehearsal somewhere in there, but you just show up and do it. And then you also get multiple takes, which is.
Yeah.
That's really nice. You know, it's nice to like have options. So it's like whatever the film is, you get the options and then the editor can put it together in the best way that they want to show it in. So it worked out really well because I love the camera and feel like it's a friend of mine.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel that because I never did theater just because the whole aspect of like the rehearsals and this whole entire commitment,
it really
scared me away. I was like,
once
you see yourself on like the TV screen or like on the big screen, it's a totally different feeling than being like being on stage. I mean, being on stage is cool and all, but just like,
Totally. Because it's like you see yourself, you know, in a theater production. It's like the lights are blurring you out and like it's fuzzy and the audio is probably, you know, not great. But yeah, film, it's super fun.
So then how did that transition from you being actress to modeling?
That kind of actually went hand in hand. So I did acting, but I also did modeling. I did a lot of promotional modeling. For like drinks and, you know, gum and, you know, just stuff like that. And and did some print. I don't have a very commercial look, so most of my modeling has just been like creative, or, you know, I was lucky enough to do some really creative shoots with some really awesome photographers that they get very avant-garde. I love that. Yeah.
What does that mean when you say like you don't have a commercial look? What does that mean exactly?
Well, it's kind of like the look that's demanded most. You know, like my teeth are funny and, you know, I don't fit into a box, you know, and it's like, sometimes I can fit into a box, but then they say, no, you can't fit into the box because you don't have X, Y, and Z. But it's like, I never mind like being stereotyped because I figure I've been stereotyped a lot.
Yeah.
But you get work when you're.
That's what I think. Yeah. I feel like if you're getting stereotyped, like, well, like for some reason, it's like a bad thing or like the stigma to be stereotyped. But I'm like, if you're being stereotyped, that means they're looking at you and say, I could put you here. You could play this role or do something like this. And I'm like, hey, all right, if it'll pay, I guess stereotype me, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I never minded because usually that means, you know, they can work with that. But it's like, I've got this weird, you know, I don't know, like, you know, goofy bombshell thing going on. Mm-mm. And, you know, that's kind of more specific, you know. I can't just go do like a toothpaste commercial.
You know? Okay. That makes sense. Stuff like that.
But you've done commercials recently. Like, you have like a really good commercial look.
Yeah. Thank you. I don't know. I'm a hand model.
Oh my God. Shut up. Let me see those beautiful hands. Whoa. So do you always have to keep your nails like beautiful?
They say to, but then I'm all like, I'm probably like the worst hand model ever. I'm just like, my shit be ashy sometimes. I'm just like, whatever. But
look, I got all crazy at the Kings game last night. I don't even know how I got.
Who was you fighting? You was fighting somebody?
The Heat fans. Just kidding.
That's funny.
Just kidding.
No, go Kings. They're doing good this year, stuff like that. Yeah. That's hilarious. Yeah. So you're doing, you do commercial work. You like to do commercial work. Do you have an agent?
I don't. I'm looking.
Okay.
Shopping for agents.
We're going to get you somebody. We're going to get you something. They're going to see this interview. We got a couple of referrals. I got you. Don't worry.
Oh, you're awesome, buddy.
Awesome. But so then, I was going online, doing my research and stuff like that. Like you say, you was doing makeup along with all this stuff. With the whole, especially being up here with this film industry or film community, you have to be extremely versatile. So I get what you're saying when you talk about like, oh, well, the modeling just came natural to the acting because you kind of have to juggle both and stuff like that. How does you being a makeup artist come into play?
Oh my goodness. It is so fun and it comes into play. It's just like, peas and carrots. Just meaning they go together like perfectly, like hand in hand. Because since it's independent films that are mostly filming around here, the budget is very small.
So
sometimes I wind up doing makeup and acting. And honestly, I love that so much because it's crazy. It's like, when you get up close to somebody and you do their makeup, you're in their space. Like they're trusting you with like just being in their space. And there's just something so like you're already, you know, friends by the time you leave the chair, you know, they leave my chair. And so when I have actual scenes with them, then we've already got, you know, a relationship established and it's just like, so we've already talked about, you know, because it's like I look up people's nose, you know, I trim people's ear hairs. And it's like by the time we've gotten to the screen, there's a certain kind of intimacy there. So if we've got to talk about something kind of awkward, like a kiss or something, you want to make it look good and real. And it's like, okay, just move your head over a little bit like that.
I'll come
You know, so it's like it doesn't come out of nowhere where you're just trying to create intimacy out of nothing.
No, yeah, because being a like a makeup artist, sometimes you spend more time with the actor than other actors. Like y'all really have like you're really just sitting in that chair, and depending on the degree of makeup that you need or whatever hair you're doing and stuff like that for that day, you really just sit up there building up a relationship with that person to the point to where like, you know, the PA that's handling that actor, whatever, they may just come up to you and be like, you know, how are they feeling today? How do I need to approach that person? Like, you know, so it's definitely, you definitely have, you're that first line of defense, you know what I'm saying, to making sure that they are having a good time instead of that, you know, they could do their job. Because you got to make them look good. If we're not looking good, we don't feel good. If we don't feel good, we're not acting good. So that's how it is and stuff like that.
And sometimes I have to make them look real bad too. There was this one film that I worked on called Simp, which actually will be showing in Kier's. So
yeah, that's what with Tremaine. Okay, yeah.
Did you help him pick it out or?
No, I did help him pick it out like that, but no, I'm strictly with me and Kier. I'm strictly like the comedian or stuff like that. So when he does his comedy shows or whatever, I help him put the comedy shows together. Not even put the comedy shows together. I really just host. Like he does, like a lot of the work. I'll probably be overcredited with the work that I said I'd do. I really just show up and host.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Oh, so yeah. So we just got word. I think today I got the email from Tremaine Heyho of Heyho Studios. He does a really quality movie. And the movie is called Simp. And I had to make the most gorgeous like woman in the world. I had to make her look kind of rough. And I tell you, you know, I was putting on the under eye circles. I was like making her hair all crazy. Mm-hmm. Still gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you'll have to check it out. Simp, April 7th. And what's this festival called again?
The Sactown Movie Buff Film Festival. I'll be there. I will be in the building, though. I will be there for that. So I'll be there to check it out and stuff like that. So you work. So you did makeup on that. Were you acting? Yeah, you acted that as well.
I did.
So what was that set like? What was being all that set like? You know, independent film here out there grinding is. Oh, that dude, is like very there community, is just,
yeah,
family friendly, like.
Well, I love each set because you're placed under such odd and pressurized situations. Mm-hmm. By the time you leave, like I feel like I have a family. Like every single time,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's like maybe it's like family you don't see again for a while and never in the same combination. But I freaking love it because people that are creative.
Mm-hmm.
There's like that energy to it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just crazy how you can like add one person to a set, subtract one person. The whole feeling is totally different.
Yeah.
But so it was really, really, really hot.
Mm.
And the fires were going on.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
When did you film this at?
Oh, this was, it was like, it's this Christmas tree farm. And it was someplace where all the fires were. It's like further up than Auburn. Like it was just way out there, like no phone service, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
independent filmmaking at its finest. Yeah.
Yeah. And then some of the scenes were filmed in Sacramento. Like, do you know NJ Brown?
He sounds familiar. Was he in he was in because you did the PCS film fest, the Real Housewives of Sacramento. Was he one of the
Okay,
so I'm familiar with his work, but I don't think I've ever met him personally.
He's another one you should talk to.
Definitely.
He was so funny when we were filming that, the Real Housewives or the Not So Real Housewives of Sacramento by Melissa Hodgman. Yeah.
which was one of my favorite films from that year.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm trying to talk Melissa into making it a series. She's so busy. She's, you know, she's got a baby, which is awesome. But I'm trying to talk her into doing it, like, do it soon.
Yeah, get it going. That's the thing, too, because, like, when you're on a set and this, everybody's cool, everybody's chilling, everybody's vibing, you just want to keep making movies with them. Not for the fact to make the movies, but just because, like you say, it's so rare the next time you're going to be around that person where you're like, that's the only way I'm going to see you is if I'm on a movie set, so let's keep making these movies.
I know. Mm. That's exactly it. Yeah. So, it was you know, intense, like long days and non-union, so. Long.
I remember those days. I'm union now. We get paid for that, but I remember
nice. Those days. Good job, getting paid for that.
Yeah.
Nice. Mm.
But yeah, you also, besides working on, independent films, non-union films, you worked on movies like with big name filmmakers from like Eric Roberts.
Oh, yeah.
And then Traffic. You worked on Traffic with Dion Taylor.
Oh, my gosh.
What would you say was like the biggest lesson that you learned from like working with these bigger name, I guess you could say Hollywood filmmakers compared to working on an independent film?
Well, it was like, kind of like night and day because it's just like independent film. It's almost like you're trying to start a fire with like sticks and matches. And it's, I think, you know, it just looks, as an actor, it looks easier to me starting with money.
Yeah. No, it definitely, money definitely helps. It makes it worthwhile.
Right. right. And it makes people show up, you know, like independent films, low pay or no pay or like deferred pay or just like credit for IMDb. There's no.
And deferred pay is just, deferred pay is just a technical term for saying no pay.
I don't think I've ever made anything on deferred pay that I've done so far.
Yeah, no, I'm still waiting on deferred pay for about like 8 years ago. No. Yes.
We might want to just let that dream go.
Yeah, like, I'll let that go up a little bit in the wind now.
It really is. Give it to God.
Yeah. No, but yeah, you was talking about like working all these.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, yeah. It's all good. It's all good.
Oh, yeah. So it was extremely fortunate to be able to work on the Deion Taylor movie. Mm-hmm. And what I've floored by is just how down to earth and cool he was as a director.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's nice because, you know, they can get an AD or whatever,
yeah,
to keep people in line. Mm-hmm. So he can be the cool director.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. But yeah. It was really, I learned a lot,
mm-hmm,
you know, and got to see like the whole, talk about an army for any kind of film or any kind of television show, an army. And I was like a featured extra.
Mm-hmm.
So that's no role or anything. And there was like 4 or 5 days of filming and,
mm-hmm,
you know, it was like makeup and they made my teeth look kind of gross and green,
mm-hmm,
and hours in the trailer and just like waiting till it's like 3 a.m. and you're just like punch drunk. So you're just like,
'cause those are night shoots, huh?
Those were night shoots. Yes.
Yeah. Night shoots be hard.
Oh my
night
God.
Shoots are rough. Especially, oh my word. 'Cause that's one thing that I take away now. Like when I watch, like, it's like, just being on movie sets for so long.
Yeah.
Like I could see like a movie, uh-huh, and I'd be all like, oh man. Like if I see a movie where it's like a night shoot, like where like the majority of the movie takes place at night, I'm just looking at that like, oh wow, that movie set was horrible to work on.
Right?
Just because I'm like, you're starting when the sun goes down and you're working all the way till the sun goes up. It's like working in like a graveyard shift. But
longer hours.
Longer hours. 12, 14 hours. I'm like, because they're using every little bit of night that they could get.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yes. I just watched True Detective. Have you been watching that with Jodie Foster this season?
No, I've been watching it since like the second season.
Well, they're filming it in Alaska and it looks absolutely horrendous.
Yeah. Well, I used to live in Alaska, so I know exactly.
I never knew that.
Yeah, I used to. I was a kid.
Aww.
I was a kid. I was like from first grade to like fourth grade. I was living in Alaska.
Oh gosh. So. You remember the cold, though.
No, I remember the cold. That's the only thing I remember. That's the only thing I remember about Alaska was just the cold and the snow.
I saw the memory of it in your
mm-hmm,
eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from mm-hmm. Michigan, so like,
oh, you know the cold,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, got out of there. You know, mm-hmm, I think it's nice to walk outside and not die.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I'll definitely take the Sacramento
bonus. Yeah,
this is, yeah, where it's sunny. Like I said, our rainy season is like 2 weeks.
I know.
That's it.
I kind of wish it was longer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, yeah, we could use it.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I will take away, though, especially because, like, with, like, Deion Taylor, he is, like, that local talent. Like, he kind of got his start. Like, you know, he's from Gary, Indiana, but he got his start, like, in filmmaking up here in Sacramento. So for him to, you know, start in Sacramento, go out to LA, be successful in LA, in Hollywood, and then be able to bring it back to some capacity to where, like, we could all sit back and watch it be all like, okay, one, it's possible, but two, like how you say, like, he's so cool,
oh my God,
so down to earth and stuff like that, to where it's definitely inspiring because, you know, you hear so many stories about, oh, Hollywood is so evil and Hollywood is this, but being able to work with somebody who is a Hollywood talent and be the complete opposite of that.
Absolutely. And it's just so cool that he did bring it back once he had his, you know, amazing hit and success. And it was so cool because one night I was just randomly at a Kings game and I didn't know he was going to be like, sometimes they feature the guests, you know, and he was like the featured guest along with Brian Austin Green.
Okay. Yeah.
Or wait. Yeah. Yeah. I think. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, no, this was like, this is like, this, so this was, I think this was like, what, last season?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he, like,
or was it this, or it might have been
last season. No, it was last year, not this year yet, but he had a chance to shoot the ball from half court. Mm-hmm. Did you see that?
I saw the highlights from that, yeah.
He's so freaking cool.
Yeah, that's what he, like, he had that background in basketball, you know, played overseas and stuff like that. Like I said, that's just a true testament to what you do when you follow your passion.
Exactly. So, yeah, that was amazing. And then Eric Roberts, I had one scene with, and I learned a lot from him.
Yeah, because you're, like, acting with the, like literally, like, acting, yeah.
Yeah, and there's an acting secret of his I'm not going to give away.
Okay.
But he was wild to film with, because it's mm-hmm. like when you have a scene partner, usually you talk a little bit before mm-hmm. it starts rolling. Nothing. He didn't give me anything. He was mm-hmm. just like not even eye contact. Mm-hmm. But then when he like when it started rolling and it was time for him to say his lines, it was like electric. Then it was just like, whoa, is this really happening? Mm-hmm. So it kind of like added to it. But I think he does like such an incredible amount of work.
Yeah, I've heard he makes it known on set that he's like acted in like the most amount of like movies ever. So and what was the name of that movie?
That one was called Soul Cage, and that was
with Robert Parham.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And what was your character of that movie?
Desiree. She was a crooked psychiatrist. Mm. So she was getting paid to give specific results for you know, like reporting back to the court about Leonard's sanity.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. So I could see why he would like be that type of character. Like, all right,
I'm oh, he was the bad guy, and he was just the best bad guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. He was actually, it was so cool because Jim Meyer is a good friend of mine, and I told him a long time ago that a dream of mine would be to work with Eric Roberts.
Yeah.
Because he always just like every time he's on screen, I'm just like, oh my God, he's the best bad guy. He like is so corrupt and just, mm-hmm. and it's just so fun to watch. Yeah. He's just so fun to watch.
And he comes from like Hollywood royalty because his sister is Julia Roberts, his daughter's Emma Roberts and stuff like that. So I can just imagine just what it would be like being on set with somebody like that.
He, after every scene, he'd be like,
that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, actors, we could be kind of out there sometimes.
We're weird. Yeah.
Yeah, we could be really weird. Like we look like we look cool on camera, but like once the camera is turned up, they say cut, rap, or whatever. Yeah, we could be kind of weird. I'll be
I don't know. It's like I finally found my tribe.
Yeah. We just look cool. We just make looking cool. But after that, but what's that all rest? We just like in our normal selves, yeah, we'd be kind of like weird and awkward and like
I know, yeah. I think it's more comfortable actually playing a character than it is, you know, like at a birthday party or something, I'll go hide.
Yeah.
I get overwhelmed if a lot of people are there to celebrate me.
Yeah. It's that's weird. Like,
yeah.
My family kind of like they'll be like, oh, you like first, like my mom just had a retirement party. They was all like, they was like, buddy man, we want you to roast her, you know, tell jokes about her and stuff all like that. And I was just all like,
your mom, yeah, oh my God. Like, could you ever roast your mom?
I did it, but it's not something that I like
specialize in.
Not necessarily specialize in, but it wasn't something that I really wanted to go out of my way to do. Right. Just because, like I said, well, what? Because like, I just wanted to like how you're saying, like my normal self is just very reserved anyways. Mm-hmm. So like I'm all like if I'm around like in like family and stuff like that, I just want to be like, if I'm, like I said, like my mom's retirement party, I just want to be her son. I don't want to be, I want to be Buddy the son. You know, I don't want to be Buddy the comedian and stuff
right.
like that.
Right, Buddy the MC, Buddy the whole entertainment for the whole thing.
It's nice to just, like I said, be yourself. And I'm like, that's what I want to do. But no, I did that. But no, I get what you're saying with the whole, like being awkward stuff. And I think that's where comedy comes into play too.
Oh yeah, oh my gosh.
The comedy world is, we're definitely interested people, especially comedians and stuff like that. And you do, I do stand-up comedy, but you do sketch comedy.
That's amazing. I cannot, I am like trying to get brave enough to try.
You should try it. Just write like a cool 5 minutes or something like that. And then just 5 minutes, you'll be all right.
Okay, maybe I'll have you help me coach because that is just like, wow. That blows my mind. But oh yeah, sketch comedy. So I was with the set, and the writers were amazing. Like, they wrote such funny stuff, and it was incredible. I love sketch comedy.
Yeah.
You mostly do stand up, right?
Mostly do stand up. I've done improv in the past, but never sketch comedy. What is the process like of do a sketch comedy? Because you like say you like writers, like not used to that, like, because like stand up comedians, like, we're used to writing our own material, you know, writing it tailored towards us.
Amazing.
But I'm pretty sure it could be totally different, like how you say, like sketch comedy, like writers, and then so what is the process of just do a sketch comedy and being a sketch comedian?
So basically, there will be auditions, and some of the same people will be auditioning, some new people would be auditioning, and then they just bring some samples of writing, whether it's something that they're going to bring out or something that they've used already, just because they want to find out what people's ranges are.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll have you reading lines for one character and then like switch in the middle of it and have someone else read for the same character to see what you can bring to it.
Mm.
And then you study your lines, you know, and it's another one of those things too, where it's like, we would have a rehearsal like once a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rehearsal.
That's manageable.
Yeah.
Once a week is manageable.
I'll take that. Once a week. All right. Yeah, we can do that.
So you practice over and over, and then, oh my gosh. Yeah. I love it. I love comedy. I think that's my favorite genre.
No, yeah, definitely. Comedy is something to where, like I say, because you just get to be yourself. You're like, this is it. Or not be yourself.
Right.
Step out of your comfort zone, stuff like that. So,
well, that's kind of amazing that, you know, it's like, when you're more reserved, you know, let's say at your mom's, you know, retirement party, but you're able to bring it in front of, like, I mean, it just feels like you're laid bare.
Yeah.
Like comedy, that's just like as vulnerable as it gets, it mm-hmm. feels like.
Yeah. Like, especially stand-up comedy.
Welcome into my house and like, let's laugh about
how crazy. It's like, welcome to my depression. Yeah, welcome to my depression. Y'all, welcome to my depression and welcome to my anxiety. Let's just have a good laugh about it.
Dude, maybe I would be good at stand-up.
Yeah.
Right there.
No, see, that's what it is and stuff like that. It's like since that release, I always say it's cheaper than therapy. But then when you find out just how crazy the comedy world is, you're like, you know what? I need actual therapy. Oh. I need some real therapy.
So I've been looking for a therapist around here in Sacramento that can deal with this specific kind of issues that I come up on set.
Mm-hmm.
And there needs to be, and it's just, it's like real stuff, but I have a feeling that like they're all down in Hollywood or something, but
mm-hmm.
it needs to expand because, you know, my situations are so specific and carry such like a specific amount of like, you know, like age ranges, you know, characters, the amount of nudity or whatever, you know.
Yeah. No, because I think definitely, because if you're talking about like just being in the entertainment business, like it's a business.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a business that's unlike any other type of business to where you try to explain it to other people what's going on.
No.
And it's also because they're not going to understand it, but two, because entertainment is just always at the forefront of everybody's eyes. It's always just pushed into everybody's eyes. They always have this preconceived notion about what the entertainment business is, that's like the glitch, so the glamour, stuff like that. So just trying to find somebody to sit down, explain to like the pressures of like not landing the audition or, you know, getting the audition.
So and now, brutal.
Yeah, it's so brutal because you got to understand it's like a business stamp. Being told no, it's just a business thing. That's something you're supposed to take personal, it's hard not to.
Yeah. I've had a couple of real hard firing stories where it's just like, I got replaced by one of my friends for this role that I was so geeked out on.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did her makeup going to set every day for the roles so I could say her lines.
Yeah.
Off camera.
Mm-hmm.
While she was doing it, just be like,
Yeah. No, I've had that happen to me too before, where like after that's, we're really good friends and stuff all like that. And we both auditioned for the movie and we both got cast in the movie, but they're like, in the process of getting ready to start the rehearsals, they're like, you know, we're just gonna switch y'all roles and stuff all like that.
Oh, wow. Like, Oh my gosh.
See, but that's something you would need therapy for, because you would look at it from a standpoint and you'd be like, man, you'd be like, man, fuck this dude.
Right, but it's just part of it.
It's just part of the business.
They're not being jerks, you know. Yeah. They're just doing their job, and you know, mm-hmm. maybe I wasn't the best fit. So
yeah, exactly. But all right, I just kind of figure out a way not to take it so personal, but take it professional. But then, like, there's nobody to help you talk you through that, like, okay, how to manage these emotions and stuff like that, especially up here, because, well, one, it's just such a slim chance of making it in Hollywood in general, but being up here where everything is more community-based, so everybody knows each other, everybody's, I'm not going to say friendly with each other, but we could be civil with each other and stuff like that.
Which I appreciate, people can do that.
Yeah, because it could be. There could be some clashing that goes on up there and stuff like that.
The Titans.
Yeah. We're not gonna get into that this episode, but no.
Never. I'm never gonna get into it.
No, that's one thing I was gonna say is you're one of the one I would say people that work up in here that can go to any organization or any event or whatever and like just universally liked. Aww. You know.
Thank you so much. Well,
it takes a lot. No, I know. Seriously, because it takes a lot, because there's so many, especially up here. I don't know why there is, but there's so many egos up here and stuff like that, to where like people like will really take it personal if you go sit up here, because we have different organizations. We have Access Sacramento. We have the CFF. We have the CFAA. Mm-hmm. And
so many great organizations.
We have great organizations, but they all serve a different purpose, but their ideas tend to clash.
Yeah.
And so. With that, like I said, it's something to be said for somebody that could go step into any room and be universally liked, be universally accepted, and be all like, okay, I know she's hanging out with that person, but it's okay because it's buddy, you know.
I knew you were gonna make my head big. That means absolutely the most to me. And it's just like, that's I just appreciate the art of it, the creative process of it, and you know, I just like to have real relationships with people.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like anything fake. I don't like to say anything behind anyone's back. I don't like to hear anything. So it's just like, I'm usually out of the loop with gossip, which is.
Yeah. That's not the, Yeah. That's what I want to ask. Like, what is your approach to like, just being out here in the community? Just, let's say, cause you can go wherever, and like I said, people are going to like you. They'd be like, okay, buddy's here. It's going to be a sweet better place.
I don't think that's true. I don't think everyone likes me everywhere I go, as much as I'd like to think that.
Okay, well, accept it, I guess. You're respected.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, that means a lot. Mm. So just my head.
Oh, my bad.
So got bigger.
Let me pop it real quickly.
Okay.
All right. Boop.
You got to pop it with something, though.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, I'm an actress. You can be brutal.
All right, cool. Well, yeah, well, I'll start tearing you down. Give me about another 10 more minutes. I'll start breaking you down. So you know.
I'm just kidding. Like, I've tried to quit acting so many times because I'm just like, what is wrong with me that this is like where I fit? That this level of rejection is exactly
and
like
we accept
in
it.
My wheelhouse. Yeah,
and we accept it. We accept the rejection. It's like, all right, cool. All right, yeah. No, you told me no again. All right, cool. All right, yeah, I'm doing something now.
Yeah, I get it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
how are you able to maintain that sense of humility?
Oh, I don't think that I have anything that's you know, like not to be humble about. I don't think anyone really, you know, should ever get a huge overblown ego and you know, not talk to people or anything. I can't even imagine living like that just because, you know, getting to know people like one-on-one, it's an honor.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so I just can't imagine. I think whatever I achieve, I'm never going to think, you know, I'm too good to talk to you, anyone or have an ego. And it's just like, that's another thing too. It's like, I like to have, I have a spiritual counselor.
Okay.
Who kind of helps me, deal with things in life, not a therapist. I still like to get a specialized therapist for the entertainment field up here. But that helps me become like right-sized, you know, 'cause in my head, I go too small. I go like, I'm nothing, you know, I don't go like, I'm big, I'm the universe, you know, I run all. So instead of anything that's like too much, like I'm nothing, too much, like I'm everything. It's like that perfect balance of life that you want to get, where it's just like right sized and looking at the world from just level eyes where everybody else's eyes are, you know?
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely about finding that balance between, like you say, walking with that sense of humility. We're like, okay, I know I can achieve more, I can achieve more. But then also having that ego to where like, man, I ain't trying to hear none of that shit.
Yeah, and I think a sense of humor is absolutely key, because I've seen people just like combust over taking themselves too seriously, you know?
Yeah. You definitely got to be able to sit back and laugh at yourself and just laugh at situations that you've been through. Because if you made it through it, then, you know, say you win it. So just got to be able to sit back, relax, think about some of the things that you've been through, and just be able to laugh at it. And be like, okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't that serious.
Right. Because nothing usually is.
No, not at all. It's usually, it's usually just things that you're making up in your mind.
Yeah. And life's too short not to just go for it.
Yeah. Most likely. What are your, speaking of like, life being short, what are your, and you was talking about times that you might have quit acting. What are your, would you say is your overall goal you tried to pursue? You can say, I made it.
Probably get, you know, I love being in all independent movies. Mm-hmm. I would like to be a household name known for a series or, you know, a feature, anything. I would like to catch that unicorn that is the working actor, like a regular job. Like, that's the unicorn that I would like to catch. You know what? And honestly, here's the thing too. It's like going back to ground zero. I think just going and putting yourself out there is a success.
Yeah.
So anytime that I do something that's kind of outside of my comfort zone, I always feel really good.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like how you want to measure success. So, you know, because it's like you could say, well, today, you know, this is a success. And then, you know, just be like, oh, I also want my name up on the big screen rolling credits. You know,
I
definitely want that. Manifest it. I manifest it for you too.
All right, cool. Thank you. And then so speaking of like these accolades and things like that, you just recently won, was it the Regional Actress Award at the Sacramento, was it the Sacramento Film Awards? Yeah. Or I can't remember. The Charlies. We call it the Charlies.
The Charlies.
So you just won, Sacramento, Best Regional Actress for the Sacramento Film Awards. Did you know that going in? That you was going to win?
I did not know.
Oh, that was a total surprise. Oh, you just knew you was nominated.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, to be nominated, that's already, you know, a win because, and especially that was people's choice. And so that was like a huge honor too.
Yeah. As I say, go back to being, you know, at least liked to some degree to where you was liked more than the other nominees.
Yeah. And hopefully it's like, you know, my actual performance that, you know, people are liking. But.
So what was that experience like? Winning that award, getting that sense of recognition. Did you feel any type of like validation like afterwards?
Yeah. You know what? I do. And another thing too, it's like I can feel totally rewarded just from like going on set. But it's like when I get home to my family at night, all they know is that I've been gone all day. Mm-hmm. And so having an award to show them, it's so validating because it's like, I work so hard and I don't think they know.
Yeah.
They do not know like the blood, sweat, and tears that goes into making a production when you really care about it, when you really care. And I do, I always really care. I want everything that I'm in to be like the best that I can be doing. And so, you know, I had, my son was there. My daughter was there. My husband was there. So it's almost like, I feel like it's for them almost, you know, it's like validation. Like she is doing stuff when she's away from the house.
Yeah.
Like, can you swear on here?
Yeah, I've said fuck a couple of times. Oh, okay. You know, yeah, we could cuss. It's
all she's good. Just not like, she's not like fucking off and just partying or, you know, whatever. Which I don't party at all anyway.
No, yeah. And that's what, that's another thing is a lot of people like don't understand just how, I don't want to say grimy, but just the work that you got to put in. Grimy.
That, you know, is a good term, though, because I do wind up grimy at the end of every shit day.
Yeah, you're grimy. Like, you just be like, yeah, you just be like, man, sweat it out. Ugh. Like, a lot of people think that, like, we're on a movie set. We're like in these tuxedos or like these ball gowns and stuff like that, like for the war show. I'm like, no, it's completely different. Like, whatever you see that movie is like or whatever, like, that's what that experience like was on set. Like, if it's a night shoot, like, we're out all night. If we're in the woods filming something, like, trust me, we are all in the woods. So
yes. Yeah. And like, if it, even if it is like, it looks really good on screen, how many times did you wear that tuxedo in a row?
Yeah.
It, without a cleaning, you know, you like act in it. So you sweat in it. And
yeah.
So it probably could use a cleaning like every time you wear it, but
you don't, you're like, all
right. Wardrobe just gives it a little spot check and a little spray. And there you go back into it the next day.
And then so another movie you had just worked on, I saw you posted a lot about it, was because we talked about just like I said, like get into character and stuff like that. It was Last Cowboy in San Francisco. Oh, yeah. Was that the name of it?
San Francisco Cowboy.
San Francisco Cowboy, my bad. So I'm over here getting two different movies combined. Like I did a movie called Last Black Man in San Francisco. That you
oh
did
my
San
gosh, Francisco I want to see that.
It's a good movie. You should check it out. It's a cool movie.
I will.
Yeah. We got, who was in that movie? Mike Epps was in it. Tiffany Arnold.
Is Mike Epps Danny Omar Cullen? Epps?
No.
No? No. No relations. Okay.
Just same last name, I believe.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Jonathan Majors was in it before the allegations. And then, but no, that was a good movie. That was a good experience being on. But then, so Cowboy, San Francisco Cowboy, that was like a period piece. Or was it?
Well, it's current day. It's present, It's present day, but it is a very like niche.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's a very okay. So what's the process like of getting into character for like that type of role where it's like such a niche thing? Where I'm pretty sure you have to do some type of research for it or something like that, like ride carriages and shit like that.
Well, I play a sex worker, so. You know, I actually could draw on some. I used to dance over in San Francisco, actually.
Okay.
At, well, I'm not going to say where, just in case like any ghosts come back up and I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. So I had some experience to pull from with that. You know, there's a lot that goes along with working in that kind of industry. And there's a lot of like, you know, even for time spent with someone that normally you wouldn't be spending with them unless there was money at play, there's a bit of your soul that is sold, you know, even if it's just that minimal amount of time spent, you know? So it's like, I understood the character. I understood her. So that was a lot to draw on. It was nice to have that experience. Yeah. To be able to draw on it.
I'm pretty sure that was pretty, like I said, therapeutic for you too as well, because you have to have that history. So you go back, you do the backstory, you like, okay, I know, I understand this character, but then like I said, from a personal standpoint, I understand this character, but that's not me no more. So it's
right. Yeah. And then, you know, getting to judge it and getting to like play it exactly, you know, as long as it's within the director's vision, you know, and in my control, it's very different from the experience that I had in the club when, you know, everything was real life and was, it did not feel very much in my control.
No. Yeah.
So there is something very therapeutic about working through that.
No, I've done stand-up comedy in the strip club, so I understand what it's like. I understand that.
Ooh, that seems like that would go hand in hand too.
It does. I feel like, if you're talking about strip club is like more of a sex work or whatever, like that does go hand in hand. Like strippers and comedy and comedians, it definitely goes hand in hand. There's some stuff that we're parallel to, like personality wise and stuff like that. We just click.
Yeah. It's that vulnerability.
That vulnerability again. Buried our souls, and
but
stuff
yet
like that.
At the same time having that hard candy shell on the outside.
Yeah. We're bearing our souls, but we're doing it for the purpose of just simply like entertainment.
Yeah.
So what's So is that making like the festival rounds? Is that?
It is. Yes. Right now it's making the festival rounds. I think it's going to be shown in the Ukraine soon.
Oh, wow.
I believe LA. And so, yeah, making the rounds right now. Oh, wait a minute. We might be through with the rounds, I think, because now you can actually get it on Amazon Prime.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and Tubi, too, which is cool.
Okay. Because I was going to say, there is, I don't know if you know, casting director Toni Standowitz.
Oh, I do, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, she's super cool. So,
oh, she's super cool.
Yeah, she's the one that's helping me put on the,
oh my gosh,
the Comedy Cash Cow competition.
Oh, heck yeah.
But she has a film festival that she throws on in Vacaville called the Wild West Film Festival.
Oh, my gosh. So
all of her movies are catered towards, like, Westerns and stuff like that. That's why I brought it up, a shameless plug. But like, yeah, so that's another, I said, film festival that is going on and stuff like that.
Oh, that's awesome. Do you know she has a horse named Barbie?
I'm pretty sure she's told me about it, because she's trying to get me to go out to a ranch to ride a horse and stuff like that, because my niece, she's like
horse crazy,
rodeo driven. Yeah.
How old's your niece?
Like 15.
Oh, nice.
I think so. Yeah, something like that.
Okay. Nice.
Mm-hmm. And then so, like, with all these different types of roles that you've played, you've done all these crazy photo shoots and stuff like that. Is there, like, a specific photo shoot or a specific character that just, you know, that just comes to mind that you're like, oh, I really had a good time on this photo shoot, or I had a really good time playing this character?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, sometimes it's like... Sometimes it's like an incredible experience, but it's not a good time. Like I would say, yeah, playing the heavy role of in San Francisco Cowboy, it was rewarding, but yeah, it wasn't like, yeah, it was like, because yeah, to get into character, you know, you kind of got to go to a darker place, you know, like, and so, but something that I had a really like fun time on was the Not So Real Housewives of Sacramento. Had a really fun nacho scene where me and Chris Laird were throwing stuff at each other, and it got cut. But
oh, okay. I don't remember seeing that. Yeah, I didn't remember seeing that scene. But okay, what was that? Well, so what? Were you just throwing stuff in like a food fight?
Yeah, my character was a jerk.
Okay.
People were like, why is your character like that? Why is she so, why she suck? And I'm like, I think she's just hungry.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it calls for. That's always a good thing too. Whenever you're playing a character, like whenever you're like somebody that's so opposite of your personality, where people are like, yo, what the heck? That's how you know you did a good job.
Oh, and that is fun too.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
It's definitely fun playing like the asshole, or like play the villain.
So fun.
Yeah.
I love it. Mm. Oh my goodness.
So what was that experience like working on the Not So Real Housewives of Sacramento?
Oh, it was such a great collaboration. So many awesome people on set there. It's like I knew most of the people there, and the ones I didn't know, I got to meet. Mm-hmm. And it was intense, and just the best part of it's just, it was like all the best things that make filmmaking so amazing.
Yeah.
She's, you know, Melissa is just incredible. And like Nick Westerlund was on there, and NJ Brown is hilarious. Mm. And like, just, it was really fun.
That's one thing I did take away from that film. It's like, just watch it. It just looked like y'all had a good time being on set.
That was a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you? What's your favorite?
My favorite, like,
set
like
experience
on set.
Because you always look like you're having fun, but I know, it's work.
No, yeah,
it's work as well.
Yeah, I try to just. I think just like it's weird. Like I think just being on set is just fun in general. Like there's always something that you just take away from it and stuff like that. This goes back to like even like talking about like, oh no, like if it's just a me thing, but like once I'm off the set, like once we finish rapping or whatever it may be, I'd be like. Like, I'll be down.
I am bereft.
Yeah.
I am bereft.
I have no idea what that means.
It just means, like, you're, like, so sad that you're actually mourning. Like,
a death of something. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, that's what, okay.
I spiral.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. I'll be like, and I'll be noticing that shit, too. Because, like, I'll be at work, and I can't show up. I cannot show up on time for anything for work. But like if I'm like a boot, like if it's like movie set, I'm like, all right, man,
I'm gonna be here.
There's definitely that. So like I don't know if I could say a specific film set that I've been on to where I was like, this is just
pure fun.
But if I could say one most recently, it would probably be this movie called, it's not out yet, but it was called Tooth Shop Fiasco.
Ooh, Tooth Shop. That sounds intriguing.
So it's just about this movie about this guy that goes to the distance, ends up falling in love with like his dental assistant or whatever. But I would think, I don't know what that movie, what the whole point of that movie, like not the point of the movie, but I mean like what the, like whether it was a short film, a feature film or whatever it was. But I had lines in the movie.
Nice.
You know, and so I think that was so, so like going back to like all the previous, like, cause I, like when I'm working on like film sets and stuff like that, the most, like majority of the time, like the job that I'm doing is called like what they call the stand-in. So, you know, you stand in for like the other
that's
actors.
Good
the, that's good money. Good and it's also a great learning experience too. Cause you learn, it's not about, cause you learn more about just the whole entire process of making a movie. Cause you're stand-in. So you have to work closely like with whatever actor it is that you're standing in for, you know, see how they act, see how they things are like that.
So cool.
But then also you work hand in hand with the crew. So you really so you see what it takes to make a movie. And then not only that, but then you see the type of like as far as like from an actor standpoint, the type of preparation that you really need, like what you walk on a movie set to like be prepared and to do your job and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So when I did the Tooth Shop Fiasco, I only had one line in the movie, but I had knew like a good chunk of the crew up there.
Oh, nice.
Just from like doing stand-in work with them and stuff like
so
that.
Cool.
So when they had seen me like on the call sheet or whatever, like, oh, he's up, my buddy, he's on the call sheet. He has lines, stuff like it was just that type of that. We're talking about like validation and stuff like that. It's, like they see like makeup artists do my makeup. Oh my God, buddy, you got lines.
Totally.
And the lady do like miking me up. So, oh my God, buddy, I'm miking you up. This is so crazy, so cool. I'm all like, shit, you know? So that, I would say that was probably, most recently probably be the one experience where I was like, okay, this is a cool character to play. And then
so cool.
If I had to say what prior to that, there was like it's a true crime show.
Ooh.
It was called Love Kills. It only lasted for one season.
Oh.
But like that was my first time being the lead for like a TV show.
Ooh,
and I was the bad guy.
I was the bad guy.
So like I said, I'm over here stabbing people and shit like that, you know. So like, yeah, like I said, the complete opposite of who I normally am.
Yeah. A person who does not stab.
Yeah, I don't really kill people.
On a regular basis, at least.
At least that's what y'all know. but yeah, so just being able to get into that type of character, and then like I said, like being like have my old trailer.
Oh my God.
Well, it wasn't my
so
old trailer,
cool.
But I shared it. I shared the trailer, but
did
with nobody
it have
else.
Your name on the door?
No, I didn't have my name on the door, but I mean, but like, nobody else used that trailer.
Right.
So,
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah, so just maybe just having that experience. But like I said, every film set that I'm on, even when I was doing like non union work or free work, like I remember one year, like when they was doing like the 48 hours and stuff.
Ooh,
like that, I did like,
yeah, those are
three, like, I did like three 48s and like, one weekend and stuff like that, just popping
Are
up
you
on different movie sets.
Me?
But just to be on a movie set, you know. Well, that's
yeah.
Like back then, like my whole goal was like from acting was all like I was like, all right, if I could get one acting job a month, I know that at the end of the year, I'm gonna have 12 credits on my resume.
Oh my
God. So I was like, let me just and then after that, so I'm like, well, 12 credits. I was like, that's all right, you know. So now I can work with that. Now people, casting directors, whoever it may be, they can see my resume. That, you know, they're like, okay, we could work with this guy.
Oh, totally, yeah.
So yeah, I kind of did it overboard. I mean, like, if I had known how easy it was to like for me to book work, I probably would have like doubled that or something like that. But like, yeah, I did like 3 48s. Not all of them were like lead roles, you know, something lead roles, something supporting roles, something like just extra work or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I did like 3 48 hours at like one 48-hour festival setting or whatever, stuff like that. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, but just knowing what goes into a 48-hour film,
yeah.
I can't believe you could do 3.
Yeah, so I did that, and it was just the joy of being on set and the
totally.
challenge of, can I do this?
Oh my gosh, don't you love that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then once you do it and what you accomplish it, you're like, ah, yeah.
Oh on top of the world.
Yeah.
And then it ends and you're like,
yeah,
now I'm never going to work again. And I'm going to sleep for 4 days. That's what I do.
Oh yeah. No, I'd be, it'd take me a while to get out of bed after working on a film set. It'd be, and it's like weird. Cause I don't think you realize just how energy draining it'd be.
Oh my God.
You'd be like, damn.
Yeah. Cause even when you're not in front of the camera, you're in a circumstance where it's like you're in a different character, so inhabiting someone else's body, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it definitely takes a while to like even like get out of that character. It probably goes back to like I always talk about like with Nita, like therapy, like a therapist. So like you're not a killer no more, buddy.
Oh man, I mean, I can't just walk around and
like, I just can't slit her throat and just stuff her body in the trunk of my car. I can't do that no more. God damn. All right.
No. Have you been the body stuffed in the trunk of the car?
I've been both. I've been the killer and I've been killed. I've been
well-rounded.
Both. So, yeah, well-rounded. Yeah, I play a really good dead person. But,
oh my gosh! Mm. Yeah, our life, seriously, it's so fun. It's so fun. We get to play.
Yeah.
No, oh my gosh.
Most definitely. So there is one game that I do on the show. It's called the Mount Rushmore.
Oh yeah, I was watching you play that.
Yeah.
With your last guest.
Mm-hmm. With Lamondo, Mr. Lamondo. Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
Lamondo.
Yeah. He's so cool.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely making waves out here, too.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Appreciate him coming through, being on the show. But yeah, we do the Mount Rushmore. Basically, share your top four influences or inspirations in entertainment business. Like, you're so well-rounded and stuff like that. Usually, like, we do it to a certain segment, but like your top four, like, actresses, models, or whoever it was at. Celebrity that inspired you.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, number one would be Donald Glover.
Okay.
And he's so freaking talented. He writes, he has these awesome shows. He's like a musician.
Mm.
He can dance. Does television and movies.
Mm.
So he's just an incredible inspiration. I'm always like, you can do what? But he can do them all really well.
Yeah.
And then Tina Fey.
Tina Fey, okay.
Because she is so funny. And that's kind of like my favorite sense of humor, is a little bit dry and like being okay with like laughing at yourself. And she's prolific as well. She has put out so many shows. I think there's talk about her taking over for Lorne Michaels at
SNL.
Yeah, I can see her doing it.
Yeah, I heard about that. I can see that happening.
So Tina Fey, Natalie Portman.
Okay.
And just because of her level of professionalism.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd also be like super scared to meet all these people because like they're so cool and so accomplished. And Natalie Portman's all like, oh yeah, I'm actually like a rocket scientist or something. You know?
Super smart.
I just act for fun. Yeah. And her fun roles are like these crazy, like just beautifully played characters. Mm. And then the last one it's got like, I had a list because I knew you were going to play this game.
Yeah.
So I had to prioritize and I can't think of anyone else right now, but I know I had like six other people on my list.
Okay. So we'll go with three. So yeah, Donald Glover. Yeah, Donald Glover's cool. Like I said, I like because he started off, well, did start off, but he, like I said, did stand-up comedy.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Oh yeah, he did stand-up comedy.
So five. Stand-up comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Television.
Movies.
Singing, dancing, writing.
Yeah. So yeah, he does all. He's like almost like a Jamie Foxx type of thing where like, because Jamie Foxx is just so talented to where he could do like, literally anything, you know. And I saw, I definitely see Donald Glover, that's in that same type of talent level. Yeah.
Jamie Foxx can sing too, can he?
Yeah, he can sing, does stand up, does sketch, does impressions, act. That's the other thing. I was like, man, he probably didn't even need to take acting classes. He just needs to like look at somebody and be like, all right, I didn't be you.
Mm-hmm. Do you know how he got his stage name?
Yeah, I know how he got his last name was for like Red Fox. I can't remember how he got the name Jamie.
Because all the comedians were men, and so he like put in a name that could be either or, and they were trying to get more women up on stage.
Mm.
So that's how he broke a leg.
Okay, cool. So I gotta change Buddy to something. I gotta find.
Buddy's good.
No, just Buddy. Yeah, I'll stick with Buddy. Hey, who'd you say? Oh, Tina Fey.
Tina Fey. Mm-hmm.
Tina Fey's cool. What about Guilty Pleasures was Mean Girls growing up and shit like that. I did like that.
Did you like it?
Yeah. I didn't see the musical. I haven't seen the musical yet, but
I saw the musical in San Francisco. I like the movie. I haven't seen like the musical movie. Mm. I saw the live.
But you saw the live musical?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was great. I mean, it was really cool. Mm. I do prefer the movie version. And I don't even know how I'm going to feel about other people playing the roles of like Regina George. And apparently Lindsay Lohan's going to be in it, you know, I think as parents or something.
Here's like a cameo in it to some capacity. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They said Natalie Portman.
Oh, yeah. She started as a child. Mm-hmm. And Black Swan was one of her.
Yeah, Black Swan was pretty good.
Dude, that was insane. And like they were actually doing all of the ballet dancing. And ballet dancing is just brutal. Mm. It is brutal. It is so hard. And you have to be so strong to be able to move your body in that way. So that the fact that she was able to portray a professional ballet dancer that had been, you know, probably training since birth. Mm-hmm. And she managed to learn it in, I don't know, maybe like 5 months, 6 months, I think she said she studied it. Mm. Enough to make it look like professional.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
And she definitely has that range as an actress as well, too, because she did like the last Thor movie wasn't that good, but she was able to show off like her comedic chops or whatever. Oh. So they'll go from like, you know, being able, like I said, just showing her range. And then during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I watched her master class that she had did. She was talking just about like it was more so like about like set etiquette and like how to move on a set so that way the camera, you know, catches, you know, your blocking and how to handle props and things of that. So I was able to take a lot from that.
That's awesome. I would still like I would like to get more polished. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
I thought of someone else, Charlize Theron.
Oh, yeah, Charlize? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's like more of a drama actress, mm-hmm. but she did play a very comedic role in this television series by Jason Bateman. And it was a while ago. It was called.
What was it called?
I am so sorry. I'm like,
it's all good. Was it not Arrested Development?
Arrested Development.
Oh, okay.
I am so sorry. Every single time I forget the name of that show, and it's one of my favorite shows. Mm. So she was very funny on that. And then I listened to an interview that she did on Smartless, that podcast. Are you listening to Smartless, Elle? Mm. I'd recommend it.
What is
it? Check it out. It's called Smartless.
Okay.
Jason Bateman and the guy that played Jack and Will and Grace and Will Arnett are the hosts, and they get some really incredible people on there. It's really interesting to listen to. And it's fun for people like me and you, because it's like, they're talking about stuff and it's like, a lot of times you can relate to some like little weird idiosyncrasy that people don't normally run into on a daily, mm-hmm. daily life.
No. Yeah. That's what inspired me to make this podcast was listen to other podcasts from like child actors that now grown up, they're not really working and stuff like that. So I was like, and they was telling their stories about being on set. And I was just like, man, I know exactly what they're talking about. I mean, I may not have achieved that level of success or whatever, but just the dynamic of what it's like being on a set. I'm like, I definitely understand that. So I'm like, yo, I need to start having conversations with other filmmakers just to see what, tell people this is what it's like.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what level you're at, whether you're working on a Hollywood movie or independent movie, like you're just on that set and we're all going to share those type of similar experiences.
Yeah, it's so true. Like, who's your favorite podcast to listen to?
Probably right now, the Joe Budden podcast.
Okay, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. Joe Budden, I like his podcast just because he's a rapper or whatever, but now he's doing his podcast. But nice. he just talks a lot about like, he's just very opinionated.
Okay.
Which is, I mean, that's kind of, I think, what you want to hear from podcasts and stuff like that. If you're not interviewing somebody, you know, people share their life stories, you just want to hear that person's opinion. And he's very straightforward with it.
I like it when people are straightforward. I listen to a lot of true crime, which means everywhere I go, I think there are people that want to murder me.
This person, like, you're just walking down the
aisle right now. Target, it's very dark out there.
It's very dark.
I know everybody very well.
It's like office space.
Talking about how good he is at stabbing.
Killing people and getting away with it.
No, I'm just kidding. I told my husband, I was like, you've got nothing to worry about. He's so cool.
Okay.
Cool. So respectful. Yeah. Okay.
Cool. Till I pull out that knife.
Oh my gosh. It's okay. Cause I got the slaps.
Oh, okay.
There was this, scene that Blaine Santos.
Oh, shout out to Blaine.
Yeah. Shout out to Blaine. Love you, Blaine. But he wanted me to slap him for real, which is insane.
Yeah. Did you?
I did.
Oh, shit.
Well, he was the director. I do what the director says. Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. It was right. Especially since it's like, okay, there are less cameras on independent films. So it's like, we had to film it from this angle.
Yeah, from every
this
angle.
This angle. I freaking slapped the glasses off of his face. And he told me a couple months later, because I was screwed up enough after that, because I lived my life like non-violent, right? Especially causing no harm. Like, that's the goal of every day.
Yeah.
And he told me that I slapped a tooth out of his head.
See, that's why you get stunt coordinators. No, you ain't hitting me. Shit.
No, but I slapped that knife out of your hand.
Oh, okay.
You better believe.
No, I'm a hand model, so I'm used to holding things tight. So you go. No, I'm going to stab you. It's going to look good doing it, too. Oh, snap. That's hilarious.
Now you got to say something like, I would never do that. And this is just a joke. Just in case, you know, because I listen to murder podcasts. So.
Oh, yeah. This is, hypotheticals. This is just
if I get in my car and, like, you know.
Like the OJ book, like, if I didn't do it, but if I did. If I did do it, this is how I would have done it. It's all just hypotheticals.
Yeah. Okay, now, if I die before my time. Will you be part of the crew that makes sure that my name gets out there and I actually get famous?
Yeah, I've got to promote my podcast somehow. Shit, I'll be like, we go. Here's Bunny's last podcast interview.
Oh my God, the guy
that did it.
No, I am getting nervous. Yeah. I'm just kidding. I do really think that everybody wants to murder me, though.
It's all good. I think that's the paranoia of just being an actor as well. Like, everybody wants the attention.
Or is it just like living in a big city?
I don't know. I don't think Sacramento's that big. Well, you're from Michigan.
I'm from Michigan.
Yeah. So
small.
Yeah.
Well, I moved out here from Chicago. That was big.
Yeah.
But I mean, also, I thought people wanted me murder me there too.
That's because that happens a lot in Chicago. That's just something that happens in Chicago. Murder is just something that happens a lot in Chicago.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Michael Che and Colin Jost on SNL were talking about like a ceasefire that Chicago is calling for from Gaza, and like said in return, Gaza called for a ceasefire in Chicago.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Oh my gosh. But you knew that.
What?
You came to that. You didn't see it, but you knew the punchline.
Yeah, I knew the punchline. Yeah, I knew where it's coming. Yeah, I knew where it's going. That's the stand-up comedian.
I love that. You gotta be so quick. Love quick wit.
Okay, cool. So before we wrap up this episode, where can the people find you at? Follow you on social media? Where can they stalk you and all that shit?
If you want to see my body of work, there is IMDb. Feel free to hit me up on any of the platforms on Facebook. I've got Camera Ready by Bunny, which is my makeup page. That's my professional makeup page. And then I've got an acting page. I've got a modeling page. I'll hop on there every once in a while, you know, because it's like I still get my fingers in the. I got to walk for Yenny Zhu in Cooperstown charity a couple of weeks ago. That was a huge, huge, awesome thing. Anyways, I know I'm going off. Okay.
It's all good. It's all good.
I'm not doing Twitter anymore.
Are you? No, I've never been one to be on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And then even like during the pandemic, I like totally got away from even just being on Facebook. This year is the first time since 2020 that I actually got back onto Facebook. It only, for like I said, for the purpose of just trying to promote like podcasts.
Yeah, it's almost like you have to.
Because
there's a lot of communication that.
Yeah.
Like me and you were talking on Instagram. Mm-hmm. I need to get your number, by the way.
So. I got you.
Oh yeah, I'm in Instagram, and every single handle that I have is super simple. I just want people to be able to find me, so it's Bunny Stewart.
Okay, cool. And then my Instagram is yeah Bunny Entertainment. Like that's for anybody listening, but anybody watching, they get to see it all right there. But yeah, no, this was a cool episode. Thank you. Thank you for coming through.
Oh my gosh.
Sharing your stories about pursuing acting and modeling and makeup, and you know, I'm excited to see where your journey takes you. Hopefully it takes you to the trunk of my car, but
and now you gotta do the disclaimer.
But that's just a joke.
Yeah, and you know, I look forward to watching where your career goes as well, and you know, the intersections where we get to like see each other and work with each other at different like film festivals and everything. So You're heck of a cool guy and really funny, and I'm lucky to know you.
Thank you. I know this. All right, cool. Yeah, but hey, y'all, this has been the Yeah Buddy podcast with special guest Bunny Stewart. Like I said, this episode is brought to you by the Comedy Cash Cow Competition at www.comedycashcow.com. So if you're trying to win that $1,000 and star in your own movie, stand-up comedians, go to www.comedycashcow.com. Not right now, but after this show ends, then you know, go ahead and do that. But yeah, thank you all for tuning in. I'll catch y'all next time. This has been Buddy Robbie. I am out, y'all. Peace.